Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for an intelligence briefing on what I think of as the war for the free world. One of the champions of the free world in this war is our first guest, a regular here at Secure Freedom Radio, syndicated columnist and best-selling author Diana West. It's always a treat to have her with us, perhaps never more so than at the moment, Diana, when there's so many things that are really important to understand from both a sort of national security and cultural point of view. And I want to visit with you first and foremost after saying, first of all, hello, welcome, good to have you with us as always.
Thank you, Frank. Great to be with you.
But to visit with you, beyond that, first and foremost, about Ebola and some of the thinking that you've been doing about the implications of the evidence, lack of coherence and apparently competence in dealing with this threat to our country. What do you make of what we're doing and not doing?
Well, I certainly see the appearance of lack of competence, but I also wonder if the policy that we're seeing take shape is part of a worldview that we need to understand better, to understand why this is happening to us. And what I mean by that is, I think that most people, and certainly anyone, any parent who's ever had a child who's ill, knows that the best way to safeguard a larger population, like a classroom or a city or a country, is isolation in terms of keeping the ill person separate from the rest. And this is why I think the notion that our government has not halted flights coming out of the Ebola stricken travelers, how the travelers leaving the Ebola-stricken countries into our country is perplexing so many people. I mean, I saw yesterday the figures are 175 travelers from the three Ebola-stricken countries are arriving in the United States every day. I mean, that is staggering. But what we're seeing is a line in the sand, not to draw a line in the sand, in other words, not to halt travel, as a matter of policy. And I think what this represents is a globalist attitude that we are not a country or a nation that should be safeguarded, that should be walled off in any way from an infectious outbreak of a deadly disease, but that we should all be dealing with this together and that we should be suffering from this as much as Africa and that our medicine can be used to stop this, to deal with it. And I think that this comes out of an ideological mindset, not a medical mindset, and not a patriotic mindset. And I think you see that with statements coming out of the CDC and the White House.
Fascinating insight. And you know, Diana, as I was watching the clip of the president speaking after visiting with these assembled defense chiefs from the coalition, as he fondly calls it, opposing the Islamic State, you heard him prattling on in a way that I must say, when it comes to the Islamic State, does not inspire much confidence. And then he says, oh, and by the way, I want to talk about one other thing. And he begins prattling on about Ebola in a way that only compounds the sense of, again, at best, a kind of cluelessness, and at worst, you're probably right, real indifference to the public safety of the people of the United States. And I get the sense that more and more of us are now feeling as though this is really malfeasance on the part of the president and is putting us all at risk.
I feel the same way. I mean, again, it's this notion that our border remains a porous figment, something, again, that does not seem to register with our leadership class, with the elites who have power over deploying forces. I mean, I believe our military should be deployed to our borders. This is a terrifying time. We have no control over what or who is coming in, bringing what or with what they are
and
arriving.
You mentioned some statistics as to numbers of people who are flying in from these West African countries, but there's some number, and it's anybody's guess really what it would be at this point, but some number of people that are known to be coming in from some of these countries across the southern border as well. And so this is again, a public policy as well as public safety issue of the first order. Let me switch gears, if I may, Diana, to a not unrelated topic. I mentioned this Islamic State a moment ago. The word we're getting is that there is an increasing peril to not only Baghdad and its airport, but as a result to roughly 1,000 Americans who are assigned to our embassy there. This conjures up images of, the Ayatollah coming to power with our help in Iran, and in 1979 having 52 Americans at the embassy there seized and held hostage for 444 days. It's anybody's guess what would happen to these Americans were they to be seized by the likes of ISIS in some new hostage-taking or new embassy-seizing operation in Baghdad. What do you make of this, and what should we be doing?
Well, I thought you were going to invoke the 1975 Saigon embassy scenario, which is another one that comes to mind as a possibility. Yes, well, I think it's fairly simple. After these many years, over a decade of trying to find a movement in the Middle East, in the Islamic world, that is in accord with our interests and not finding it. I think that it's very apparent. I believe those 1,000 Americans, all personnel should be evacuated out of Iraq. I don't believe that we have a side there. I don't believe we want to enhance Iran's power by fighting on behalf of Iran. Iraq is Iran's proxy. Let Iran deal with it. I don't believe that we have any sort of land or people to win in Iraq, in Syria, and I don't believe we should be involved. I think that we should be dealing with our own problems, which are huge, and on our border. I think that's our first and foremost interest. I don't believe that there is a place for American military force in this conflict, because there is no side that, if it triumphs, is an ally.
Right. Well, that is a given. The question of whether or not we've got an interest in our own right in preventing this global jihad from taking more territory is very much a question I think we all need to be coming to grips with. And if so, what's the most effective way of doing it? It certainly isn't in evidence from what the president said yesterday or his so-called strategy. I want to touch base with you on yet another topic that I imagine you've been giving some thought to. The president, of course, made much in his administration's first 5 years or so of a reset of relations with the Russians. John Kerry is kind of trying, apparently, to reset the relationship with the Russians after the unpleasantness most recently over Ukraine. And I just wonder, again, as somebody's a serious student, as a syndicated columnist, and with your wonderful blog at nyanwest.net and your best-selling books, Death of the Grown-Up and American Betrayal, what you make of, and maybe in a way more to the point, what the Russians make, given their past history with us in this regard, of such, submissiveness, I guess, is one way of thinking of it, on the part of our government towards them.
Well, I think the fecklessness of the government, the ridiculousness of the focus of the Kerry State Department and indeed the whole Obama administration on global warming as a dire threat to American national security, the most important threat. I mean, this is at this point we're into sort of, we're into Looney Tunes, and I can only imagine that it empowers the Kremlin. It gives them a sense of free rein. That certainly seems to be what we see, and goodness knows where that takes us. It's again, I mean, the crisis point we are at is so profound. I don't think there's ever been a point in American history where we've been so imperiled. And, you know, our resources are streaming out. We are broke. We are you know, being invaded. Our military is spending millions to bomb pickup trucks, you know, with no strategy. I mean, there's no strategy with American safety and indeed survival.
This is a powerful indictment, needless to say, and one that I suspect we will be embellishing upon in the course of this program, and I know in our future conversations with you, Diana West. Thank you very much for both what you do with your column and in your books and in your conversations with us each week. I look forward to doing it again with you next week. In the meantime, stay well. Next up, Fred Fleitz joins us, our duty expert on matters of intelligence. We'll talk about Iran and the negotiations underway there straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.